Welcome to the September 9th, 2007 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is presented by Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Why Am I Here? We also have music by Giles Blankenship. If you're in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
We welcome you to College Park Baptist Church. My name is Jeff Allen, Associate Pastor of Students and Families, and we welcome you on behalf of the congregation to worship this day. We'd like to find out who was here for worship. There are pew pads located on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite you to take those and to fill those out, members and guests alike. Let us know that you were here by signing your name. Check the appropriate boxes. Guests, just give us the information that you feel comfortable. We'll use this to contact with you, to thank you for coming to worship. If you could send that down so everybody has a chance to fill it out. And when it gets to the end of the pew, if you could send it back to where it started. And then we ask the first person who signed it, when it gets back to you, if you could rip out the pages that were used, that will help our ushers get those at the end of the service. Thank you for helping us with that. Several announcements listed in your bulletin, a schedule for this week. Everything kicks back off tonight for Sunday evening, including our WISE series. So that'll start tonight at 6. We are having a family ministry team at 4, our meeting today at 4. Everything else, choirs and Bible studies, go on tonight. Life service is at 7. That's our contemporary worship service. We have a guest that will be with us tonight, and I'll introduce him in just a few minutes, but that will be tonight at 7 o'clock in Smith Hall. I want to recognize, I think, Ward. Come on, give us an announcement.
Good morning. Y'all remember back Christmas time, I was involved in a project called Christmas for a Cause that was in connection with Feed the Children, and I badgered many of you about buying CDs in order to send a percentage to Feed the Children. And I just wanted to give you some numbers about that. We sold several hundred CDs, and with your help, the whole project, we were able to feed, I believe it was 63,300 children. So give yourselves a hand for that. Additionally, the church does get a cut of that that's designated for missions. And from the CDs that you purchased, we were able to raise about $200 that'll go towards missions of some form. It's not much, but it definitely helps. So thank you for that, and praise God for all of you.
Good morning. I want to give you just an update on our WISE small group studies, which will begin tonight. If you have not signed up for a study yet and you are interested, please let me know today or in the coming days, but do not feel like if you have not signed up or you're not on the list that you cannot show up at a study. But we will start tonight. The Sunday night group will meet this evening in Adult 3 at 6 o'clock during the regular discipleship hour, and you will be meeting with Jason, and we are, I can't tell you how excited I've been to see the numbers that have signed up in all of the groups. Tuesday night, we'll meet at 7 o'clock at the Leffler's. If you need directions, they are out on the table in the foyer passageway. And there are directions right there to their house if you have not already gotten some by email. Thursday night's group this week will meet at 7 o'clock in the conference room in Cindy's absence as she is honeymooning. And then we'll resume at her and Steve's home the following week. But we will meet this week in the conference room. And if you have any questions, you can let me know. If you are trying to decide on a group, I can give you some information on that. We will also have your materials available in the entranceway as well for you to pick up, and Jason will be manning that table after the service this morning, so feel free to harass him as you go through.
Thank you. We just want to let you know we will not have children's celebration today. We're going to reschedule that, just so you know about That, other things, prayer partners. Our prayer partner ministry is in the second week of the new year. Done a good job at getting those selected, but there's still several envelopes that need to be picked up, and we ask that you get those. It usually takes about 3 weeks or so to get that done, and so you've done a good job getting that already out, but we've got a few more young people that we need to get prayer partners for. So if you could pick those up as soon as possible, that would be great, and make sure you sign your name on the prayer partner sheet. This morning we have a guest that's leading us in worship and will be again with us tonight in the live service. He is my good friend, Giles Blankenship. He is right now, he's a contemporary worship pastor at Snyder Memorial Baptist Church in Fayetteville. And he and I go back a long ways. And we go back to college, and he's a powerful man of God who serves through music and through worship, and I'm excited about him being here this morning. What'd I say?
I'll give you your check later.
Oh, good. Okay. I can go longer if the check gets bigger. That's okay. So it is a pleasure. Giles was in youth camp for us 2 summers ago, and our youth got to meet him and experience a week with Giles, which poor Kelly, she's got to do a lifetime with Giles. So it's a pleasure to have Giles here this morning, and very grateful for him leading us in worship. I want to recognize Doug. We've North Carolina State Missions Emphasis. I saw that and I said, yeah, we need some money for NC State Athletics. But no, that's not what you're talking about. So come on, Doug.
For the next 2 weeks, we'll be talking about North Carolina missions, the North Carolina Baptist State Convention. We do this each year about this time of the year. Our church goal is $3,000. Now, there's several ways we can do that. If somebody feels like writing a check out for $3,000, that's just great. We can do that. Or maybe 10 people write out a check for $300. Well, that would be great also. Or maybe just 30 people give $100 each. That would reach the goal. But I think a better way to do that is for all of us to participate. All give from your heart as the Lord leads. And the goal will be met, and we don't have to worry about that $3,000 goal. But I do want to mention something about where the money goes, because the ministry is what is important. The goal is important, but not nearly as important as the ministry. Whenever there's a hurricane or some kind of disaster in North Carolina, among the very first people to respond are North Carolina Baptists. In those yellow shirts, North Carolina Baptists go, and they're right there. When a storm starts moving up anywhere close to the United States, North Carolina Baptists are already getting pre-positioned so that they'll be ready for ministry. North Carolina Baptist men and North Carolina Women's Missionary Union get about 60% of this offering. And as you'll see in the handout that's in your bulletin, that is where the operating money for these two organizations come from. So I hope that you'll give generously. Then other money goes to evangelism and church starts, and then some goes to associational projects. And that's about 75% of the money that's received. Those things. I think those are things that are important to us. So I encourage you to use your yellow envelope that's in there, or either use your envelope that's in your box of envelopes that you have at home with the little green stripe. Use those and give generously to the North Carolina mission offering.
Thank you, Doug. We do want to say a special welcome to our guests this day. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. They would like to give you a packet of information. You have already given us some information about you, about your name and your contact information. We have a packet here we would like to give to you. Inside this packet is a letter from our pastor, as well as the story of College Park, and a newsletter. It tells you what's going on in the life of our church currently. And just raise your hand and just take one of those so that you can find out a little bit more about College Park. Thank you for being with us in worship today, and we pray this hour will be a blessing to you. You will find printed in your bulletin our responsive reading. We call it the invitation to share in worship, because worship is something that we do together. Worship is active. It's something that community, the body of Christ, the community of God does together. And this is the way we begin. It is a responsive reading that comes from Psalm 47, verses 1 through 7. I invite you to stand now for our responsive reading. I invite you to read the dark print aloud as I read the light print. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy.
How awesome is the Lord Most High, great King over all the earth.
He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loved. God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets.
Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing to Him a song of praise.
Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. I'm Giles, and Jeff is my friend. I don't know whether I should admit that so readily or easily, but I do. After years of of admitting it, I guess it just kind of comes naturally now. And so, for better or worse, for richer, for I'm sorry, that was yesterday at the wedding. Well, anyway, my name is Giles, and I'm delighted to be worshiping with you today, and just thankful that I get to be here and be a part of this gathering of believers this morning. I know that Jeff said that we won't have the children's celebration today as you typically do. However, we won't let the children go all the way. There's a song that that I love growing up. It went like this. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Lord passed by that day, he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. I'm going to your house today. And today we're going to be looking a little bit at that story of Zacchaeus. And I want, as I sing this arrangement of the song, for us to maybe think about Zacchaeus and what it took for him to climb up that tree. He had his reputation to preserve and at stake. And what do we need to let go of today? And what do we need to do that? And what do we need to be listening for this morning? Because Jesus might be saying to us, I'm coming to your house today. And I guess that's my prayer, that Jesus would come to our house, would come to this house today. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree, for the Lord he wanted to see. And Jesus said, won't you come down? And Jesus said, won't you come down? And Jesus said, won't you come down? From coming to your house today. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree, for the Lord he wanted to see. And Jesus said, won't you come down? And Jesus said, won't you come down? And Jesus said, won't you come down? For I'm coming to your house today. And he came down from his pride and greed, when he climbed out of that sycamore tree, placed his reputation at Jesus' feet, found a purpose greater than all his means, a mission now to save and seek. Was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in that sycamore tree, for the Lord he wanted to see. For the Lord he wanted to see.
Father, this day we are seeking after you. On this day, we stake our claim that we want to see you. With our lives, we tell the world we want to see you. So, Father, we have come into this place to peer down and to get a glimpse of your glory and your grace. But Father, in your infinite wisdom, in your great love for all of us, as Jesus came to find Zacchaeus, you have come to find us. So we have sought each other out, and in you we have found purpose, and in you we have found forgiveness and mercy and grace and salvation. What do you seek in us? What do you want for our lives? For all these reasons, we have come into this house this day to lift up your name. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Our scripture focus in worship for the next few weeks will coincide with our why study as we share together in the ministry of God's word through the reading of scripture. I'll begin first this morning in the Old Testament in the book of Proverbs, from the second chapter of Proverbs, beginning at verse 1. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. From the New Testament, first from Luke's Gospel, in the 19th chapter, verse 10, a single verse from the story of Zacchaeus. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. And also from John's Gospel, in the 4th chapter, verses 23 and 24. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Oh,
Jesus, Savior, blessed friend, let us praise you without end. Dear Lord, as we take this time out of our lives to come and worship you and to think about the role that you play in our lives, we are grateful that we have a Savior, that we have a Redeemer that makes everything about our life worthwhile, even when we are not. Lord, no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter the burdens that we're carrying, the joys that we're celebrating, help us every single day to remember that you are our Savior, that if we put our trust in you and accept you as our own, then we have eternal life in you. Let that be the promise that drives us each and every day. Lord, as we walk in our daily lives, we also praise you for being our friend, our perfect friend. Even when we are very imperfect, we are very undeserving, we are very unfaithful to your call, you are our perfect friend. Lord, as we walk and carry some of the burdens that we carry, some have experienced loss just in the past few days and weeks. Lord, we pray that as our friend, you continue to comfort those individuals, help them to feel your strength, to wrap your arms around them and help them to feel the warmth of your love each and every day. Help their memories to be so sharp for the loved ones that they have lost, and those memories to only grow stronger as the years go by until they see their loved ones again. Lord, for those who are carrying physical burden of pain and difficulty and sickness right now, we pray for your presence and strength and healing upon them. You are their comforter, their healer, their friend. Lord, for those of us who are struggling personally, professionally, and in any other ways, Lord, we thank you for being our friend. Thank you for walking with us and holding our hand and carrying us when we can't do it ourselves. You are our Savior and our friend. We worship you. We put our trust in you. Let us dedicate ourselves to you this week. Amen.
you could be seated for just a second. I know this kind of breaks with the normal flow of things, but before Kent comes to pray, I want to invite us to do something just a little bit different with the offering and the doxology this morning. I grew up singing the doxology, and I love it. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. But this morning, as we take up the offering, I invite you to keep your heads bowed after Kent finishes praying. Kent's going to finish praying, and I invite you to keep your heads bowed if you're comfortable doing that. I know it might be a little awkward at moments. You know, we got to get out the pocketbook and the envelopes, and some of us have to write the checks, and so there's all that kind of logistical stuff that I know needs to happen. But during the course of the offering, as we're taking it up, I'm going to invite you to consider some things and to be praying and thinking about some things. And some of you won't feel comfortable. You might feel that they'll just pass the offering plate right by me if I've got my heads bowed and eyes closed. And I guarantee they won't do that. Somebody will nudge you on the shoulder if you're deep in prayer and the offering plate gets to you. Somebody will nudge you and let you know that it's there. But I invite you to, when Kent finishes his prayer, just to maybe even keep your head bowed, and we'll just continue that spirit of prayer through the offertory, and then we will sing the offertory, the doxology together, and the ushers will come down. But Kent, now, if you would come now and lead us in that prayer of thanksgiving.
Let us bow in prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we come here on a beautiful September day. We're getting back into routine. Our church year is starting in Sunday school. Our evening activities are starting. School is back in session. Lord, I ask that you be with the parents, the students, and the teachers as we start this year off. Lord, I ask that you be with our Sunday school leadership as we start this new Sunday school year. Lord, thank you for Giles being with us here today to share his talent and bless us. Lord, I also ask that you be with Cindy and Steve as they begin their exciting life together. Lord, as we come to this time of giving, Lord, we ask that you take what is given and bless it and let it be used the best way that it can be used. Lord, we're so grateful to be here in this church, to be among this fellowship of believers, our friends, our family, our fellow Christians. Lord, I ask that you watch us, guide us, keep us safe, and bless us. I know we don't deserve the blessings you give us, but we are so grateful for them, and we love you for it. Lord, thank you for all the many, many things you've blessed us with. It's in thy name we pray. Amen.
God, from whom all blessings flow. What are your blessings? Think about all your blessings, great and small. Thank you for for a roof over my head, for food to eat, for a warm bed to sleep in, and clothes on my back. I thank you for a car to drive and get me from point A to point B with fairly decent gas mileage. Thank you for these, our blessings. The song also says, praise him, all creatures here below. Who are you thankful for? Who are you thankful for? God, thank you for my wife, for my son and my daughter. For parents that love me. For those folks in my life that point me toward you. We thank you. The song says, praise him above, ye heavenly host. And so as we sing this song this morning in just a little bit, we join with all the angels before God's throne, praising him. And I guess I like to think we join with more than the angels. We join with the saints that have gone before us. I know there's some folks in my life that have gone on before me for whom I am thankful. So with all these things in mind this morning, I invite you to stand as we sing our doxology together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. And all God's children said, amen. When we respond to God's call, he changes our life. May we respond to God's call. Give me one pure and holy passion. Give me one magnificent obsession. And give me one glorious ambition for my life, to know and follow hard after you. To know and follow hard after you. To grow as your disciple in the truth. This world is empty, pale, and poor. Compared to knowing you, my Lord, lead me on and I will run after you. after you. Lead me on and I will run after you. Give me one pure and holy passion, and give me one magnificent obsession. Give me one glorious ambition for my life, to know and follow hard after you. To know and follow hard after you. To grow as your disciple in the truth. This world is empty, pale, and poor compared to knowing you, my Lord. Lead me on and I will run after you. Lead me on and I will run after you. To know and follow hard after you. To grow as your disciple in the truth. This world is empty, pale, and poor compared to knowing you, my Lord. Lead me on and I will run after you. Lead me on and I will run after you. Lead me on and I will run after you. That's the running that we need to do, God. Is the running after you. I know I get so caught up in the busyness and the running of this life that it takes me away from my running after you. And I know often my running after you sometimes means that I'm completely still. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Meet Joe. Joe is the kind of guy who likes to stay on the move. Every hour of every day, there are so many things to do. Joe learned early on that it's good to keep busy. People need lots of activities to keep them occupied. As he got older, there were more things to do, and life just kept getting better and better. After a very busy time of putting himself through college, it was time to slow down a bit and get married. That's when things got busier than ever. Now, Joe has to work and work. His boss needs him. His family needs him. It's an awful lot to do, but Joe likes to keep busy. Busy is good. It keeps you moving. Don't worry about Joe. He slows down every now and then, takes time for the kids, time for his wife, time for himself. Every now and then, Joe even takes time for God. Yep, Joe does lots of things. But the one thing he never does is stop. Because whenever he's still for too long, some questions always seem to catch up with him. And these questions bother Joe. He begins to wonder about life, his life, if he's living it right. He begins to worry that even though he's always on the move, that maybe, just maybe, he's not actually getting anywhere. He begins to think of new ways of moving, new ways of living. He even starts to take a step. But life is busy. His boss needs him. His family needs him. Every hour of every day, there are so many things to do. But that's okay. Busy is good. After all, it keeps you moving.
You ever feel like Joe? It's everything we can do sometimes just to keep up, stay on the treadmill, just to keep your head above water. I personally enjoy running. I like to run outside. I don't like to run inside unless the weather's just too bad. I mean, absolutely too bad to run outside, but I despise running on a treadmill. However, I do like to use the rowing machine at the Y, which has put me in a position where I can see some really humorous things with the treadmill. I have seen remarkable things. I've seen a little girl who couldn't have weighed more than 80 pounds get shot off the back of a treadmill. I mean, it looked like a bad commercial. I saw a water bottle hit a treadmill and slam and go against the back wall and just kind of like explode. I saw a teenage boy step off the treadmill with one foot, but for some inexplicable reason forgot to take the other foot off and ended up in this really ugly split. And with all of these situations, you know what the first thing they did? Look to see who's watching. That's exactly right. Every single one of those instances, they look to see who's watching, to see their embarrassment. You know, and I got to hand it to you, the teenage boy recovered the best because he's in this really awkward split and then he just kind of plays it off like, yeah, I'm stretching. You know, he turns the other way. And I'm like, that's the man, you're the man. You know, and for those that are laughing nervously now, you've been victim probably at some point. Yeah, I see those nods too. But if we're not careful, that's how life ends up for us. It's just kind of like a bad treadmill accident. You know, and until we learn to step off, make an intentional effort to step off the treadmill, we really don't have those opportunities to look at the deeper questions of life. You know, if you're like me, sometimes the tendency is you step off for a minute, and you start into those questions, but then, you know, life is, so we're like Joe. We jump back on. We hear the beep and it starts back up. And we really don't pause to think about the deeper questions that maybe we should be thinking about. I have a friend from seminary whose favorite expression was MSQ. MSQ. You ask him how the day was, MSQ. Everything was MSQ. And it means maintaining the status quo. And I thought, what a terrible thing. I mean, how was your day at work day, honey, MSQ? I mean, so basically, you're at the same point tonight that you were this morning. I mean, nothing has improved, nothing has changed. It's just maintaining the status quo, you know? Maybe more of us feel that way than we're really ready to admit right now. Well, you know, just maintaining. I hope over the next 40 days that you will take the opportunity to stop, step off the treadmill, and begin to ask some of the deeper questions in life. We'll be asking those in worship, and I invite you to be here. You know, some of you are maybe saying, well, you know, that's great. You know, we can do that on Sunday, but you know, the rest of the week I'm busy. I've got things to do. I've got that treadmill I'm on, you know. So much going on. It's happening for me. And, you know, if that is you, let me challenge you. Make a commitment today for the next 40 days to step off the treadmill a little bit and explore these questions. Some of you are going to have a chance to do that in small groups, if you're able to do that. And again, as Mary said, you know, even if you haven't signed up, come on tonight, come on Tuesday night or Thursday night. We'll get more material and make sure that you have what you need. But this morning, we're going to look at the question of why am I here? A very basic question. And it kind of goes to a paraphrase of this question is, you know, there's got to be more than this, doesn't there? There's got to be more. Paul Tillich is one of the best-known theologians of the 20th century. And he said that the basic anxieties of people are meaninglessness, purposelessness, death, and guilt. And all of these, if you recognize it, are symptoms of separation. But the question is, separation from what? Or separation from whom? You know, being alienated from God. And some of you, I realize, may have a different definition. Maybe what I'm speaking of, and that's okay. We're going to talk about that next week. But you know, being alienated from God leads people to many other different effects. It can lead to a situation of high anxiety, excessive worry about, you know, what follows this life, dysfunctional families, general irritability, quote, boring existence, inferiority complexes, feelings of rejection. All of those come because we don't understand the nature of our relationship with God. We don't understand, why am I here? And it causes us to ask very serious questions sometimes. There's a book, I've only read a couple of Jack Higgins novels, and many of you may not even know who he is, but in the book East of Desolation, which was published in 1968, there are two survivors in a plane crash on this giant ice cap, and they're walking along and they're talking about life in general. When one of them asks, he says, "Joe, what's it all about? Life, living, the whole bit. Have you ever asked yourself that?" To which Joe Martin, who's the main character in the book, says, "Well, on the average, about 27 times a day. You know, what's it all about? What's the meaning?" You know, even though these characters in this novel have nothing to do with God, it's not a religious novel in that sense, it shows that in points of crisis, in points of examination, sometimes we ask those questions. What is life all about? Why am I here? What is my purpose in life? I don't know if you've ever felt like that. Most of us have at some point. I remember the summer after my senior year at Wake Forest, I worked for the North Carolina Department of Agriculture. Translation, I had a 100-gallon trailer sprayer that I hauled around, and I sprayed Roundup as part of the battle against multifluoros. You know, I had a T-shirt. I'm part of the battle against multifluoros. Multifluoros is ground covering. It kind of got out of control up in the mountains for a while. So that was my job. I would pull up in my sprayer and I'd take Roundup. And I mean, with that sprayer, I could shoot Roundup 45, 50 feet in the air up into these trees and kill out that multifluoros. And one hot summer day, after a good day of mass destruction, I leaned up against that trailer and I thought, boy, there's got to be something else besides this. There's got to be. And sure enough, there was. 3 months later, I left for Texas and seminary. You know, so there is more to life. But sometimes we wrestle with this whole question. Why am I here? What's my purpose in life? And we need to get more out of life, so it seems. And I think that is a question, a basic question that Zacchaeus is wrestling with. Who was Zacchaeus? He was a wee little man. You're thinking too spiritual back here, choir. He was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. And he climbed up in a sycamore tree. He was wrestling with some questions. He's a character that we meet in the New Testament. 2,000 years ago, even though it was a different place, it's the same race, it's a different language, but it was the same question. There has to be something more. What's my purpose in life? And by the world standard, Zacchaeus had it, man. He had it going on. He had arrived. He had more power and wealth than most would ever imagine. He was really, in many ways, kind of the head of the IRS in Jericho. You know, he was the chief tax collector. And we pick up his story in Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. Familiar story. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man there was there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was the chief tax collector and was very wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. That's the story. It's the first part of the story. So here's this guy, Zacchaeus. He has money. He's infamous in many circles, famous in others. He hears that Jesus is coming down this way, and he does something incredibly significant. He makes a conscious decision to do whatever it takes to look beyond himself and see Jesus. Now, if you're taking notes, that's point one. If you want to discover purpose in life, you need to look beyond ourselves, yourself. We have all the self-help books. We talked last week about how sometimes, you know, self-help is kind of disguised as spirituality, or spirituality is disguised as self-help. You know, we have motivational speakers. A lot of them carry this common theme of, you know, if you really want to be at peace, you need to look within. You need to look at your inner child. You know, you need to let your inner child comfort the child that you are becoming. And And I'm cool with all that, except my inner child is a little bit tired of being harped upon. But I understand the importance of looking within. I do. I get that. But I think if we want to be faithful to find out why we're here, we have to look out first. We have to look beyond ourselves to God. That's what Zacchaeus did. Look again at him. He was in the tax business. Good job back here. Yeah? We got the tax collector from the choir. He was in the tax business. That was his job. And in the ancient world, there was tremendous fraud in tax. Not that we have that today. But fraud back then was a lot more blatant. Here's how it went. Tax collectors would meet a merchant coming down the way. And this was particularly true in Jericho because it was a huge trading center. All right. And when they would see the merchants coming down the way, they would look at their merchandise and they would overvalue it. And then they would tax them immediately on the spot for the overvaluation that they had just placed on their merchandise. Fraud, ripoff, it happened all the time. It was so bad in the ancient world that these guys, tax collectors, were grouped with two other groups of people. You see it mentioned in the Bible over and over again. Prostitutes, beggars, and tax collectors. Over and over. Almost makes you feel sorry for the prostitutes and beggars. Because, I mean, it's just thrown out there constantly. So Zacchaeus was not a popular man. He wasn't. Maybe that's the reason they wouldn't let him in to see Jesus. Or maybe he was just short and he was the last one there. Had to close the office, so, you know, he's the last one there. In his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, Rick Warren, and many of you have read this book, Rick Warren addresses this subject of approaching Jesus. What is our purpose in life? He starts right in the first chapter. First of all, first sentence, it's not about you. The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were born by His purpose and for His purpose. We have to look outside of ourselves. Zacchaeus was willing to do that. The second thing that we need to do to discover our purpose is something that is called DTR. We need a little DTR time with God. DTR stands for defining the relationship. Now, many of you young couples probably heard this stated, maybe in not those exact words, but you hear it very often with couples that are dating, and it goes kind of like this. Perhaps they've been dating 3 or 4 months. Okay, the male in the relationship, maybe, let's just say he has commitment issues. Okay, and he doesn't use the commitment word very often. And he certainly doesn't use the M word at all. And so about 3 months into the relationship, he gets a phone call from the girl he's dating. And she says, I think it's time that we have a little DTR time, defining the relationship. And it's just like all the oxygen sucks out of his body. You know, paranoia sets in. I hear an amen. I got it back here. Paranoia sets in. High anxiety. You know, is she going to let me down easy? Or is this one of those, we want to go to the next level in our relationship? What's going to happen here? That is DTR time. Defining the relationship. What is the nature of our relationship? Zacchaeus has that. Here's Zacchaeus. He's looking beyond himself to Jesus. Jesus comes into town walking along, and Jesus walks right up to him and says, out of the tree. It's time for a little DTR time. DTR time with God. Define the relationship. It's in verse 4 and following. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Now, Luke says specifically that he climbed a sycamore fig tree. Done a little research. Ficus sycamoris. Yes. They grow 20 meters tall. That's over 60 feet, best I can calculate. 6 meters this way. That's 18 feet. It is a very, very big tree. It has very, very large leaves. Big branches, big leaves. Easy to climb in. So you can climb up in this sycamore fig tree, and actually hide. That's significant, because I would imagine that Zacchaeus is climbing the tree because he wants to see Jesus, but I wonder if he's also hiding, in essence, from Jesus. You know, I want to see him, but I don't really want to be seen seeing him. I don't know if you've ever been there in your life where you want to learn more about Jesus, but you're not really sure that you want God looking in and seeing all the stuff in your life. It's like hide and seek. I love playing hide and seek. I enjoyed playing hide and seek with both of my children. I remember especially with Ashton. When she was almost the age of two, it was that cute little time when every child thinks, if I can't see him, he can't see me. And every child goes through that. And so what happens is you have someone playing hide and seek, and I saw the back end of Ashton from behind the recliner, but she couldn't see me. And so she thought, well, she was the ultimate hide and seek player. It's wonderful. It's cute. That's how it is with children. But you know what? That's how it is with God's children too. What's interesting is as we grow older, we keep playing hide and seek. It's just a little bit different. We do it in kind of a spiritual realm. Hide and seek with God. It's one of the oldest tendencies in the history of mankind. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. You remember the story? Adam and Eve. You can eat anything except fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? Well, what did they do? They ate from the tree the knowledge of good and evil. And God comes looking, and what do? They hide, yeah. Uh-huh. God comes back in the garden, and he's looking for them. And they're playing hide and seek with God. Why do we hide? Why were they hiding? Do we hide from shame? Do we hide because we feel guilty? Do we hide in our addictions? Do we hide in our workaholicness? If that's a word. You know, maybe we've done things and we've experienced things and we want to know more about God, but we don't feel worthy. Or maybe we feel like he won't accept us or he can't possibly forgive what we've just done. So we hide. We pull back and we hide. And God is walking through the garden and he calls out to us. He calls out to Adam and Eve too. And the question, he says, Adam, where are you? Now that is a fascinating question. What, God doesn't know? God's playing hide and seek with him. Why? It's not because he doesn't know. Maybe he's wanting them to think about where they are and why they're there. I think God does that with us too. I challenge you in the next 40 days, I want you to think about where you are. Have a little DTR time with God. Define your relationship with him. The third thing, I think we need to learn from community. There are things in life that are much easier to do with other people's help. Christine, suppose that Roger came up to you in Kentucky and said, Christine, here's the screw gun, the sheetrock's in the house, go get it done and let us know when you're done. It's hard to do, isn't it? Think about it. I can feel you there. I'm hanging sheetrock by myself and it's not fun. It's not fun. And you're thinking a funny story's coming, but not today. We'll save those for later when it really is funny. The point is that there are jobs that we undertake where we need help. We need community. Spiritually speaking, we don't have to do the spiritual journey by ourselves. Now, our relationship with God is a deeply personal thing, but the journey is beautiful when we travel together, isn't it? It's part of community. It's part of community. And Zacchaeus has this encounter. Jesus walks by Zacchaeus, says, come on down, we need a little DTR time, and besides that, I'm going to come to your house. And Zacchaeus said, bring it on. It says he welcomed it. He welcomed it gladly. Zacchaeus wanted that. And that's hugely significant what happens here, because the class system of the ancient world was in full effect in Jerusalem and Israel and Jericho, all that surrounding area. Basically what is meant was, you do not sit down with those three people we mentioned ago, the prostitutes, the beggars, and the tax collectors, throw in there the other various sinners. You don't sit down with them and eat a meal. You don't even sit down with them. You don't fellowship with them. That was the religious law, and Jesus broke that law. The Bible says it this way. It says it's great. See what happened when Jesus sat down with Zacchaeus? Verse 7. Look in your Bible. Verse 7. All the people saw this and began to mutter. Yeah. Can't you hear it? Muttering. Muttering. That's what people do when they don't get it. When they don't understand that God's at work. They mutter. Muttering is what people do when they don't like what's going on at church. They mutter about the church. They don't like what the pastor's preaching on or the suit he's wearing or they don't like his staff. They, you know, whatever. They mutter about that stuff and they mutter about other people muttering. Jesus has gone into the house to be the guest of a sinner. Mutter, mutter. You know, he's in Zacchaeus' house. It didn't take any time, I'm sure, for it to spread all the way across the city. Mutter, 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 mutter. I mean, you can hear it going. So what is Jesus doing? What is he thinking? He goes in, he sits down, and he has a meal with someone. And to do that in the ancient world was a gesture of friendship, community. Jesus is saying, Zacchaeus, I want to be your friend. The most hated man, perhaps, in the city of Jericho, and Jesus has community with him. And Jesus doesn't care what people are saying. Amen. Zacchaeus is far, far away from God, and he is the recipient of grace from the Son of God. And Zacchaeus is absolutely blown away by this gesture of friendship. And I hope for you in the next 40 days, you have an opportunity to approach a Zacchaeus. Maybe someone that other people don't like or appreciate or is an outcast. And offer compassion and grace from Jesus Christ. Someone who's asking the question, why am I here? Because the Creator of all created me to have fellowship with Him. To look beyond myself. To understand and define my relationship with Him and within the context of community. And the last thing we see, Zacchaeus, in his quest for purpose, he discovered that we seek as we are being sought. You made reference to it. We seek as we're being sought. And that's interesting. Jesus sits down with Zacchaeus, and they have this little small group time, which hopefully you'll have in groups this week. And he says, you know, in essence, Zacchaeus says to Jesus, you know, my life has been changed. By this encounter with you, my life has been changed. And he says, Jesus, I'm going to get right. I'm going to get right with you. I'm going to get right with people. I'm going to stop robbing other people. I'm going to make it right. I'm going to square all this up. And Jesus says to him in verse 9, look at it. Jesus replied to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. Salvation has come to the house. That's terrific. But then he follows up with a statement in verse 10. For the Son of Man, that would be Jesus, for the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Say that with me. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. The Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Congratulations, you just learned the scripture memory verse for this week. That's what it is. Jesus said, do you want to know why I go in and sit down with the most notorious thug in the city of Jericho? And I'll eat at his table and I'll call him my friend. He says this, because I'm here for the people who are far away from God. I'm here for the people who never would make it on our list of spiritually most mature in America or whatever. Jesus says, I'm not here for those who feel like they've got it all together. I'm not here for those who feel like that their life is perfect and that they've arrived. That's not who I'm here for. I came to seek and save what was lost. The amazing thing about God is that as we read through the Bible, we read that God is pursuing us. We don't just seek after Him. He is passionately pursuing us. We seek Him knowing that He is seeking us. Over the next 40 days, as we reach out to God, know this, God is passionately pursuing you. He's going to do something huge in your life if you'll allow him to. If you'll get off the treadmill and spend some time with him. I want you to look in your bulletin. There's a little insert in there. College Park Medical Center. You will recognize this. It looks a lot like a prescription. And that's exactly what it is. You go to the doctor, you get a prescription. You know, you probably never had a prescription filled at church. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to fill this in. Name, age, address, date. To whom it may concern, my friend, insert name here. Okay, that would be your name. My friend is excused from life's treadmill. For the next 40 days, please exempt this person from any unnecessary busyness or heavy mental lifting. He or she is currently pursuing answers to life's biggest questions. Side effects may include, but are not limited to, outbreaks of joy, unprompted smiling, and a deeper understanding of God. It's signed by your pastor. You can give this to your boss and say, hey man, my pastor said to give this to you. I just wanted you to be dialed in on what's going on with me for the next 40 days. Let me know how that works for you. but I guess probably it's really more a reminder to put somewhere where you're going to see it for the next 40 days and say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Got to slow down. Got to slow down. I need to look outside myself to God. I need to define my relationship with God. I need to learn from community with other believers. And I need to understand that even as I'm seeking God, God is passionately pursuing me. Let's ask Him for His help. Dear Father, thank You for this day, this time of worship, the experiences that we've had here. Father, we pray that it would be the beginning, a new beginning in our lives. Father, as we step off the treadmill and seek You passionately, even as You are seeking us, help us to understand all that's involved in that, as we've learned from the person of Zacchaeus this morning and how Jesus treated him, even when it was unpopular to do so. Father, give us that pure and holy passion. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you want to square things up with God, I'd love to talk with you. If you do not have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, I would love to share how you can do that. If you want to pray where you are, define a relationship now. If you want to come and pray here, we invite you to do that. If you'd like to join this fellowship of believers, be a part of a bigger community that you can learn from, we invite you to do that. Whatever your decision is, we invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now.
Thank you.
ask if you would please be seated for just a moment. Bruce, Mary, would you come up here, please? This is, many of you will know them affectionately as David's parents, but they have first names. Bruce and Mary Shannon are coming today by transfer of letter from Providence Baptist Church in Charlotte. Many of you had a chance to get to know them when you went down to Caswell a couple weeks ago. Delightful people. They really are. You need to get to know them. And they are coming again by transfer of letter. I think they're already involved in a Sunday school class, and things are going really well. But they wanted you to know that that they want to be a part of this community called College Park. So if you will love them, encourage them, continue to support them, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
Fantastic. I want to invite you to come by at the conclusion of the service and extend a warm welcome to them. David, where are you, buddy? David, if you would come stand with Mom and Dad, would you do that? They would be delighted. We would too. I want to invite you now to stand for our benediction, please. Dear Father, now as we go, help us to go with a knowledge of who you are. Help us to go with a conviction to get to know you more deeply. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's R-A-M-O-N @collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.